The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. When it was evening of the day of the resurrection, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." But Thomas, who was called the twin, one of the 12, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the mark of the nails in his hands, and put my finger in the mark of the nails and my hand in his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were shut, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Reach out your hand and put it in my side. Do not doubt, but believe." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have come to believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen.
Amen.
Please be seated. Today is the second Sunday of the great 50 days of Easter. Last Sunday, we proclaimed with trumpets and lilies and baptisms that Christ is risen. We remembered how on the third day, Jesus left behind his linen burial wrappings and burst out of the tomb and appeared to Mary Magdalene. In our gospel reading today, we pick up right where we left off. It is still that glorious Easter day, only now it is evening. The disciples, we are told, are huddled together inside one of their homes, and the doors are locked because the disciples are afraid. They're afraid that the authorities will come hunt them down and crucify them like they did to their leader and teacher. They're afraid because strange things are happening, things that they don't understand. That morning, some of the disciples had seen with their own eyes the empty tomb when they had been expecting to see Jesus' body. And they had heard Mary Magdalene's testimony that she had seen the risen Lord and even touched him. They did not know what to make of these things, and so they did what many of us do when we're uncertain or afraid. They hid. Psychologists have identified three main responses that we humans exhibit when we're faced with a threat: fight, flight, or freeze. When we feel vulnerable and afraid, the logical, rational part of our brains goes out the window. In this fearful state, our first instinct is usually to run away. If that option isn't available to us, our bodies gear up to fight. But other times, fear doesn't propel us to move at all. We just freeze, paralyzed by indecision or incapacitated by shock. It seems to me that the disciples were stuck in this freeze mode. They didn't know what to do, so they just sat down together in a room and locked the door. But then the risen Christ comes busting in, a miracle of flesh and blood, raised from the dead, standing among them and saying, "Peace be with you." We can imagine the disciples' shock and delight. Jesus breathes on them and gives them the gift of the Holy Spirit, and then sends them out into the world, saying, "As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And yet the disciples don't go anywhere. It's kind of an anticlimactic story. You would think that once the risen Christ had shown up through locked doors, talked to his friends, and sent them out to continue his mission, they would jump up and grab their cloaks and go. Go do something. Go tell somebody what they had seen. Go get started on this grand mission that they had been assigned. But the story tells us that a whole week later, the disciples are still in the house, and the doors are still locked. They're frozen. They're stuck. They're scared, and they don't know what to do next. I can certainly empathize. Freezing is my go-to stress response. When I feel overwhelmed, I get in bed and draw the curtains and curl up in the fetal position and don't move. When I don't know how to tackle a challenge or what to do next, I often tend to just do nothing. So I can relate to the disciples in this stuck space. They have just received the shock of a lifetime. In a matter of days, they've seen their beloved teacher murdered and then miraculously raised from the dead. That's a lot of emotional whiplash. And now the risen Christ has appeared to them and given them just a small little task to go out into the world and share the good news with all the people in the whole world. So no wonder they are feeling scared and overwhelmed. This is brand new territory for all of humanity. Where do they go from here? What's the first step? It's much easier for them just to do nothing. So Jesus, demonstrating his endless patience, comes back. He comes back into that dark, locked room where his best leaders are still curled up in bed. Father Greg Boyle puts it best. He says, "Jesus didn't co-sign on the disciples' terror when he entered that closed room after the crucifixion. He opened the drapes and the windows and unlocked the door and said, 'Andale, let's go.'" I love that image of Jesus rousing us from our fearful fetal positions, opening the drapes, shoving a cup of coffee in our hand, and telling us, "Get going." See, Jesus is never very concerned about our level of preparation or about our list of qualifications. He's less interested in perfect planning and more interested in action. Again and again in the gospel stories, Jesus tells people to just get up and go. When he meets the first disciples mending their fishing nets on the shore, he simply says, "Follow me." And the disciples drop their nets and follow him. No resumes, no interview process. When people come to Jesus to be healed of leprosy or bleeding or blindness, Jesus just reaches out and heals them. He doesn't ask for a backstory or to know why they really deserve to be healed. He just does it. And many of those people, once healed, immediately get up and follow Jesus, or else go and tell people about this thing that he has done for them. And when Jesus sends out his disciples on their own for the first time, he tells them to take nothing for their journeys. No bag, no extra supplies, no shoes. Jesus is always telling people, come on, get up, let's go. I think that we need to hear Jesus tell us that today as much as the disciples in that locked room needed to hear it 2,000 years ago. In our particular cultural context, we don't have to fear for our lives because we are Christian, thanks be to God. But we are still afraid. We still get stuck. We still don't know what exactly to do with this amazing, mind-boggling good news that Christ is raised and that the kingdom of heaven has come near to us. We still don't know what exactly Jesus is looking for us to do when he sends us out to carry on his mission of love in the world. And we're afraid, afraid of getting it wrong, of sharing the good news in a way that is offensive or harmful or that makes us feel like fools. But I can just imagine Jesus nodding and smiling as we rattle off this long list of our anxieties and fears, as we protest that we're not prepared, not ready, not qualified, just as he opens the door and shoves us out into the sunlight anyway. Jesus knows that the world needs us. The world needs people who know the resurrection. This hurting world desperately needs to hear good news. The people in our communities need to be loved and to be brought into this loving church family. It doesn't matter if we're bumbling and awkward. It doesn't matter that we don't have it all figured out. What matters is that we go and try something. We also must remember that just because Jesus doesn't leave us with a 10-point plan to follow step by step, doesn't mean that he leaves us with nothing. As we heard in our gospel story today, Jesus has given us the gift of the Holy Spirit, the very Spirit of God to live among us and guide us. Our job is just to do our best and trust that the Holy Spirit will take our bumbling and awkward efforts and do something miraculous with them. After all, look what the Holy Spirit did with the first disciples once they finally left that locked room. They set the world on fire. So let us listen to Jesus as he tells you and me, the people of St. Andrew's Seguin, Andale, let's go.